Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm John, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. Now I'm serving God full-time in a growing local church as a music pastor. West Coast prepared me both academically and spiritually for a great future in ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
If I asked you, what is God's purpose for your life, what would you answer? Most young adults don't really have a clear picture of what they should do after high school. In fact, there are so many options, the decision can actually be scary. If you're interested in discovering God's perfect plan for your future, or if you'd like to prepare to serve God in full-time ministry, then find out more about West Coast Baptist College at wcbc.edu.
So many people in this world are striving to recover from addictions, from past abusive situations, and even from the consequences of bad decisions. Does this describe you or someone that you love? Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Dr. Paul Chappell, Recovery with God. Stay with us. So many people in our world are in the process of recovery. So many of us have been hurt. So many of us have made bad decisions that have led to difficult and painful, long-lasting consequences. So many of us have faced abusive situations where somebody in our past did something or even continually did something that dramatically impacted our lives. And yet others are struggling with substance abuse, like alcohol or drugs. Well, maybe someone you know is dealing with one of these things. Whatever the need, recovery, authentic, lasting, life-changing recovery from the inside out, truly does begin with God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the preaching, the teaching, the encouragement of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series presently is entitled Recovery with God. This is an entire series of messages that help take a life from the very beginning of life with God through a process of restoration and growth and true, lasting, authentic life change. I'll tell you in a moment how you can download this entire series and maybe give it to a friend, or you can listen to recent broadcasts if you're coming into the middle of the program. We would love for this series to touch your life in a very special way. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to this program via a podcast. You can listen to recent programs or download them and listen to them later. You could pass it along to a friend. There are many other resources on the website that will encourage you in your Christian life and in your walk with the Lord. And there's also a way that you can be a part of the ministry of Daily in the Word. Would you prayerfully consider a monthly contribution to help us cover the costs of airtime and supporting this ministry? Your investment is an investment into the Word of God going into the hearts and lives of people all across the country and even in many foreign countries. Take a moment and visit Daily in the Word and consider joining us in the effort of teaching and preaching the Word of God. Well, the eighth message in our series is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, renewing my walk daily with the Lord. This is where life change really becomes daily and real. Renewing my walk. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
We've been talking over the last several weeks about how can we, with our failures, with our hurts, with the shameful situations of our lives, come to the Lord and find His grace to be sufficient. And I've received a lot of notes and comments these last several weeks from folks who've said, you know, Pastor, God has help me with overcoming a hurt that I've experienced. And God has helped me to forgive someone from a situation of difficulty in the past. And some have said I've had this many days or this many weeks free from certain addictions of the past. And God is working in hearts. And for that, we're certainly thankful. You know, it's interesting because before we ever began preaching these messages, I tried to listen to what folks were saying and to some of the needs of our church family and those that I would meet out on visitation and soul winning. And you know, it's amazing that many folks struggle with various addictions. It may be an addiction with nicotine or alcohol. Some said they felt like their spouse was nearly addicted to the internet, others to television. And it just seemed like these things had become almost an idolatry to them. Others said that because of some hatred, because of a situation in the past, they just couldn't get on with their lives. They never could get past those particular situations. But you know, I've also sensed and learned as I've lived the Christian life and talked with folks trying to live the Christian life that just as you begin to have some victory and you find yourself living free from the past addiction or living free from the past anger, all of a sudden Satan will put a roadblock in the way and he'll try to hinder that progress. Satan does not want us to walk daily with the Lord. He does not want us to have total recovery from those problems of the past. And so he tries to somehow bring us a roadblock that will cause great setbacks in our life. The Old Testament prophets sometimes referred to this as backsliding, sliding backward after you had made some forward momentum. And many times people do slide backwards and they'll revert back to drinking and back to gambling and back to the addictions of the past. And along with those backward steps come those old habits we talked about, trying to control the situation or deny the situation and somehow do the damage control to say, it's not as bad as you might think. Well, I've noticed as people slide backward in their Christian walk and as they slide backward in their commitment areas to the Lord, that there seems to be a noticeable pattern of regression. Three things you might want to jot down under the introduction portion on your notes this morning. The first thing that seems to happen with someone going backward after they had some initial forward motion is complacency sets in. They become complacent. And it's sort of like they say, well, I'm doing okay now, and so I don't need to attend church every week. I don't need to read the Bible every day. I don't need to be as faithful as I've been. I'm doing better now. And so they become very complacent about spiritual things. And then the second step that seems to attach itself to many people and become a part of many people's lives is confusion. Because after complacency, people begin to rationalize. And they begin to say, well, you know, my problem was never as bad as it really seems now. It was never that bad as people said. And they become confused about how they really were addicted or how they really were hateful or how they really were angry in the past. So first comes complacency, then comes confusion. They're in the state of confusion about the problem. Thirdly comes compromise. The third step in backsliding is compromise, and that's where we say, you know, it wouldn't hurt to go back and maybe just hop on that internet site for a while, or maybe just go back to the old bar and see the old friends for a while, or it wouldn't be so bad maybe to just go with that one group for that one party one time, or whatever the case might be. And so their complacency leads them to a state of confusion, and then that confusion will lead them back to compromise. Now, it may or may not be with substance abuse or something like that, but how many of you have really tried to do well and you had some spiritual momentum and all of a sudden you begin to slide backward? And you can relate to what I'm saying in these three steps. You'd say, I know what you're saying. It's easy to get to thinking you're doing all right, sort of like when I was a kid and I thought I was such a good guy on the bicycle that I'd hold up my hands and say, look, no hands, look at me. And then what happens? You crash every time. And so it is in the Christian life. We think we can handle some things when in reality we're utterly dependent upon God if we will have total spiritual recovery. And this morning we will see the importance of trusting the Lord, as Proverbs says, with all of our hearts. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't get complacent. Don't enter the state of confusion. Don't allow yourself to come to that place where you compromise. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How can we trust the Lord with all of our hearts? How can we know that He is working and that He will direct our paths? Well, let's notice, first of all, this morning, this question: why do Christians fail? Why do Christians fail? And how many of you know that Christians do fail? How many of you would say, I are one and I fail? All right? Christians do fail. Now, let's notice several reasons why very quickly. First of all, we fail because we rely on our own strength. We fail when we try to rely on our own strength. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Galatians chapter 5. This portion of Scripture has been one of the most profoundly helpful portions of Scripture in my Christian life because it explains that the Christian life is a spiritual life. And if we are going to have God's blessing, then we cannot walk in the flesh, but we must walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, I'd like you to read that together with me. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16, ready, begin. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, most of you will recall when Jesus met Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be, what is it? Born again. And when a person receives Christ as their Savior, they are born, as we say, of the Spirit. It's a spiritual birth. Now then, we cannot begin this Christian life in the Spirit and then walk in the flesh and expect success or victory. If it is begun by the Holy Spirit, and it is, then we must learn to walk in the Spirit day by day, to acknowledge His presence, to yield to His will, to listen to the still, small voice. And when we rely on our own strength, we're going to regress. We're going to fall back. But when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so people fail when they think, like the kid riding his bike, that they can take their hands off and they can handle it. They fail because they're trusting in themselves rather than in God. Notice in Galatians 3 and verse 3, Galatians 3:3. You see, the church at Galatia, their entire problem was that they had started in the Spirit, but they had reverted back to the flesh. They had reverted back to their way of thinking. And so Galatians 3:3 says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? He said, if you started this whole thing by the power of the Spirit, do you think you're going to become mature by going back to the ways of your flesh and your reasoning? Zechariah 4 and verse 6, the prophet said, it's not by might, it's not by your power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so spiritual victory comes as the Spirit of God directs us and guides us day by day. And we need to keep in mind constantly that we are to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. You can read through Galatians 5 and you'll hear the wording, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. But the Bible says in verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which means all kinds of wickedness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, envies, etc., etc. You see, when it comes to overcoming hurt and anger and sin and all of these things we've been preaching about, these aren't brand new problems, my friend. The lust of the flesh is as old as mankind. And so we see that when someone walks in the flesh, they're going to fulfill these activities. But the Bible says when we walk in the Spirit, there will be a different kind of fruit from our lives. And you'll notice this, please. The Bible says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, what a tragedy to see a Christian who has the Spirit in his life walking according to the flesh. A person that God says, I want to give you peace, living with hatred. A person that God says, I want to give you wholesome relationships, living in lasciviousness, fornication, whatever the verse says, according to the flesh. Now, even though we're born of the Spirit, we still have a fleshly tabernacle. We still have the old temptations. That's why the Bible says the flesh wars against the Spirit, trying to pull us away, and the Spirit wars against the flesh, trying to lead us in the way of Christ. We have the choice. we must yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And when we rely on our self instincts, and when we rely on our own impulses, we will utterly fail every time. We fail when we rely on our strength and not on the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I heard about a middle-aged lady that visited an apartment building in New York City. She went up to the 23rd floor. She got out of the elevator, went down the hall to an apartment at the end. And as the apartment door opened, a woman came to the door, and she had on one of these flowing sort of Eastern gowns, kind of like a Hindu gown, and she had a little bells on her dress, and incense came pouring out of this apartment and so forth, and she clapped her hands as she spoke to this middle-aged woman who had knocked on the door, and she said, "Are you here to see the great Begoni, the one who knows all and sees all and understands all and has all things in control?" And the lady said, "Yes, tell Sheldon his mother is here." And a lot of us sometimes need to be reminded that we're still Sheldon. We need to be reminded that we're not always as equipped to handle every problem as we might think. And as Christians, we are utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. Why do Christians fail? Every time a Christian fails, it is because we begin to rely on our flesh, on our strength, rather than on the Spirit of God who indwells us and who wants to lead us through the Word of God. Secondly, Christians fail because we don't seek support. Christians fail because we don't seek support. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, my friend, the Bible says that Jesus loves the church and he gave himself for it. Listen, a church is a called out assembly of believers. We're called out from the world to identify with Christ. Now, Jesus loves the church, and it is his will that every believer is a part of the body life of a church. In other words, we all need each other here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And the Lord has designed it that way. And in 1 Corinthians, he says, the eye is no more important than the foot, and the foot's no more important than the arm, and everybody needs to work together to encourage everyone else. And so it says in Hebrews 10, 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." That means if someone in our church is really faltering or struggling, we need to think about them and care enough for them to try to encourage them back in the ways of God. And you see, Christians fail because they simply don't seek that kind of support, or they won't make themselves available to be encouraged in that way. They will not attend maybe enough, or they will not make enough of a commitment so that someone would have the freedom to try to encourage them in that way. And we live in this freelance day of Christianity where we want to, you know, kind of determine how involved and so on and so forth, and that's fine. But the fact of the matter is that we need to recognize that as we are committed, as we are a part of a family, and as we are a part of a church family, there's greater opportunity to encourage one another to live for the Lord and to enjoy total restoration and recovery from the sins and difficulties of the past. I think, for example, this church has 20 adult Bible classes. Adult Bible classes are caring communities for believers that meet on Sundays at 10 o'clock and have monthly activities. And within those classes, there are something called care groups where several individuals pray for one another and minister to one another if there's a hospitalization or a special need. There's opportunities for discipleship through these classes where you can sit down with someone on a personal basis for a number of weeks and just kind of get grounded in your faith. But you know why Christians fail? They never take advantage of those kinds of opportunities. They never get into those classes at 10 o'clock. They never get involved in discipleship or attend some of these opportunities through the church. And because of that, we grow weak, you see. The fact of the matter is that God never intended Christianity to be a solo act. He intended for Christians to gather together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's a reference to the return of Jesus Christ. As His return draws nigh, we don't need to get lazier and lazier spiritually, but we need to be more committed to the house of God. And then the third reason that Christians fail is because we become prideful. we become prideful. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we need to remember the lesson of the whale. When you get near the top and you're ready to blow, that's when you're going to get harpooned. And a lot of people are that way. We think we can handle it. We've arrived. Boy, we're doing great. And then all of a sudden, boom, the trial comes. Often our pride causes us to blame others. Often our pride causes us to rationalize our sin. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Boy, don't ever say to yourself, I'll tell you what, I'd never leave the faith and live like that guy. Don't ever compare yourself with someone else, because the truth of the matter is, but for the grace of God, any one of us could be laying in a gutter this morning. Every one of us need to just thank God for His grace in our lives. Why do Christians fail? Because we become prideful. Now, secondly, how can we prevent failure? How can we prevent failure? I don't think anyone's here today planning to fail in their spiritual walk. I think we'd like to avoid failure. And that's why the title of today's message, Renew My Walk Daily with the Lord. It's got to be more than just a few hour a week thing. The Christian life is a relationship. Every moment of every day, we walk with Him.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, presently delivering a series entitled Recovery Together with God. We're discovering how to truly, authentically recover, to heal from past abuse, from difficult decisions and the consequences that we're experiencing, or from addictions. Whatever your struggle, or whatever the struggle of someone you love, this series is a tremendous resource. You can find the entire series at dailyintheword.org. You can download it. You can pass it along to a friend. You can even subscribe to the podcast. I do hope you'll visit dailyintheword.org. You know, we love to hear from our listeners, and your investment, your partnership with us financially into this ministry helps us continue paying for airtime on this station and on stations all over the country. We thank the Lord for the privilege of teaching and preaching the Word of God in your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us? Pastor Chappell has just written a new book. It is a powerful book and a tremendous companion to our present series. It's entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, Discovering the Power of the Holy Spirit-Filled Life, a life that is empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Living Beyond Your Capacity is a 200-page paperback book. Brand new, right off the press. We've just had it a couple of months. We've been excited to place it into your hands, and we believe it will be life-changing. And we would like to send it to you this month for a gift of any amount to Daily in the Word. If you'll call us, or if you'll go on the website, dailyintheword.org, and click on the Donate tab, we would like to send you this book, Living Beyond Your Capacity, as our gift for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Again, you can do this at dailyintheword.org, or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. This book will change your life, or change the life of the person you give it to, I promise. Living Beyond Your Capacity will be a read that you'll never forget. So call us or visit the website and be a part of this ministry, and let us send you Living Beyond Your Capacity. Before we wrap up our program today, here's a word from Pastor Chappell.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to thank you for listening to Daily in the Word. You know, it's a great privilege to preach Bible-based messages on over 400 stations across America each and every day. One of my favorite parts of the day is when I receive mail or email from the listeners of Daily in the Word. It's very rewarding to teach and preach the Word of God, and to know that someone's life is being blessed or even changed for eternity because of the broadcast. I'd like to ask you to take time today to visit dailyintheword.org. When you get to that website, you're going to see a variety of helps for your Christian life. Also, I'd like to encourage you to drop an email through dailyintheword.org. Let us know how the broadcasts are touching your life. If the Lord lays on your heart, we would greatly appreciate your gift to this ministry in order that we might be able to continue airing the broadcast across this nation. Your gift will go right towards the airtime cost of this ministry, And we'll look forward to continually preaching the Word of God as we journey together on Daily in the Word.
Well, thank you, Pastor and friend. Don't forget, we're heading to Alaska, August 2011, for our ministry cruise to Alaska. It is an adventure you will never forget. We would love to have you join us on this 7 days of exciting adventure and spiritual growth and tremendous Christian fellowship. You'll find more information at dailyintheword.org. Just click on the Alaska Cruise button. You'll see all of the information there. It is a week that you will never forget. I hope you'll join with us and go to Alaska in August of 2011. Again, for more information about our ministry or to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.